strong local economy starts with you. Shop local, buy local, shop Emporia First.
Shop Emporia First. Invest in our hometown.
KBOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. It is 822, 38 degrees. And it's time for the ESU Buzz, brought to you this morning by Emporia State University. Discover ESU, where learning comes to life with more than 200 academic programs. Learn more at emporia.edu. Stingers up, ESU. And by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, Lyon County's leading mortgage lender.
Emporia State Federal Credit Union, the educated choice, better rates, a better return. Because you're an owner, that's what you'll earn. The difference is clear, it's easy to see. It's your financial institution for the educational community. Emporia State Federal Credit Union, the educated choice.
At Emporia State University, we're here to help you get the degree that will help advance your career. With over 30 unique graduate programs, on campus and online, you can grow in your career or start something completely new. Master's programs in athletic training, elementary education, applied sociology, or information technology, the opportunities are endless. Apply today at emporia.edu/grad.
26, and we have our ESU Buzz here this morning, and we're pleased to have in studio with us Interim President of Emporia State University, Ken Hush, and also Director of Media Relations, Gwen Larson. Ken, good morning, and happy Thursday. How are things going today?
Good morning, Chuck. All good, and it's a nice day here, so it's a great way to start. I just want to take the opportunity to wish everyone listening and the Hornet Nation a happy new year as well.
Awesome. Gwen, good morning. How are you today?
I am doing great. I love seeing the sunshine. Sunrise was beautiful when I came to town, so it'll be a great day.
Good deal. Ken, before we get started into the meat of our conversation here this morning, how are things going for you, and how are things going here, I guess, on campus leading into the restart of classes next week?
We've been busy.
yes, you have.
Know, we've a lot of things going on, and we'll get to your reference to the meat of the discussion. But no, I think things are going well. Everyone came back fresh, and rested, and a few extra days on the break. So I think everyone appreciated that. But no, I think students are back mid next week, and so everyone's getting geared up for that, and everyone's excited. So and. Just on the note of protocol and everything, do you want to touch on that, Gwen?
Sure. Are we ready to talk COVID for a little bit?
Might as well jump into that now.
Okay.
Get it out of the way.
So we do have a planning group at ESU that we've had since COVID started. We call it FPG. Sometimes that means fall planning group, and sometimes that means future planning group. But it represents all areas of campus. We've got the administration on it. We've got faculty representation. We've got student representation. We've got health representation. So we met on Monday to talk about how to start the spring semester. Easy decision to continue our masks required in all of our buildings. We know that that's an effective step, and our students support that because they want to be in classes. What we are working through now that we'll be communicating to campus is explaining the new protocols for isolation and quarantine that public health just came out with. So making sure that everybody on campus understands if you've got symptoms, this is how long you need to stay away, this is what you need to do. So we'll be outlining all of that and getting that out to the campus community today.
It's been a period over the last 2 years of rapid change, Gwen, and you know that as well as anybody.
Yes, it has. You know, there were periods of time where FPG was meeting weekly. Every Wednesday at 4 o'clock, we got together and we were discussing what was going on campus, what was going on in the community, what we needed to do. And as you know, we had, you know, some policies all over the place, and you have to adjust as the circumstances change. You adjust things. We close down a little bit. We open back up. We just have to take it a day at a time.
Well, and, you know, adjusting is something we're going to have to continue to do. And I'm sure you're looking at the health of your staff, too, because that has been an issue with businesses and schools here in the area, here specifically the past 3 weeks.
Exactly. All of the guidance that we put together, we look at What do faculty need to do? What do staff need to do? What do students need to do? Because our goal is to keep our classes face-to-face. But yes, if a faculty member is out with COVID, how does that faculty member teach the class? And so we've got plan A that we're following, and there's plan B, C, D, E, and F in the background if we need to, in individual cases, go to those.
You've got the alphabet covered, it sounds like. And President Hush, if you would sometime like to share your happy and rested recipe that everybody is back at ESU with me sometime, I'd enjoy hearing that. I like to hear that actually works. Before we get into our main topics today, too, I know that Governor Laura Kelly, in her State of the State address, hit on a topic I think that brought a lot of ears to the attention mode, not only with our local legislators, but here in the community, and that was a proposed freeze on tuition for Kansas Region's institutions. Ken, your take on hearing that, your thoughts on that?
Obviously there's going to be a lot of discussion up in Topeka between the governor's group and legislation teams. So, I think we'll just stay tuned. I think it's just started, right, the process. Don't exactly know what that looks like yet or if that's the way it'll be in the end. I think there are some positive things that have also come out, from indications and that maybe the Kansas Board of Regents ask for incremental dollars for various things across the system, for the various initiatives going on, building and this type of thing. So I think there's a positive movement, from that side. So a lot of juggling on their side.
Well, I know Emporia State certainly has the broad support of area legislators up in Topeka. And the Kansas Board of Regents, I'd heard their ask was going to be upwards of $200 million for higher education. Much needed, obviously, because, our higher education have really, really taken a hit over the past 10, 12 years and have really been cut to the bone. So that is obviously something that is much needed. And I guess your initial reaction, or mine was anyway, when you hear a freeze on tuition, well, how are you expected to pull in any dollars when you're suffering right now financially anyway, if you can't adjust tuition? So I guess we'll just, as Ken mentioned, see how that plays out.
But you're exactly right. Ron, there's so many factors driving it. You reference our local area representatives. They're fantastic, okay? And they do a great job for us, not only ESU, as a community as well. So thanks to them. But, I'm optimistic, through the incremental ask of $200 million that some things are going to happen, and that's been indicated to us, from the governor's office. And so I think we stay tuned. In the meantime, it's just like all of us do at home. We keep our head to the ground. We operate and we optimize with what we have. And, hey, if something comes through that benefits us or we have to adjust on, like Gwen mentions, we'll do it. But in the meantime, we're trying to just optimize our core activity, which is students and education.
This is the ESU Buzz with Emporia State Interim President Ken Hush, also Gwen Larson joining us this morning, who's the Director of Media Relations at Emporia State. Well, let's get to our main topics today. We talked budget here briefly with, if you can't increase tuition, how do you make it go? How do you make those dollars work? Well, that is, Chuck, increasing the amount of students you have, not only online but on campus, and that's what we're going to touch on here.
Absolutely. There's been a couple of different initiatives. First off, the one that was announced as part of a recent batch of city and county commission meetings here about the really multi-layered scholarship and enrollment initiative, and then also the announcement which came up on Monday where Shelley Gerke had been promoted to Vice President of Enrollment Management and Student Success. I wanted to frame that in the overall, I guess, alignment process, which was mentioned here, Ken, as you mentioned here during the Rotary Club meeting on Tuesday, mm-hmm. and also with the announcement that came out yesterday about another set of promotions as well. Let's talk about the alignment process here for Board of Regents and Emporia State and kind of how this particular effort has gotten started and where it's at.
You know, when the Board of Regents asked me to take this role, it was a dinner that evening. They asked me mid-afternoon, and I had a dinner with Emporia State and some of the regents present. That was the day that they were visiting campus the next day, okay? And I made the comment that we were going to, do our utmost to align the ESU's goals and the Board of Regents' expectations. And coincidentally, that's what they expect from us. They're a fantastic group. You can see from the demeanor and various communication coming out, they are progressive thinking. They realize and not only from all economic viewpoints but also education that they're using the phrase, they want to re-engineer higher education. Re-engineer, if you definition, it's look at and consider possible change. And last time I checked, the word change was not a four-letter word, okay? So I think, yes, we're aligning. Those are pragmatic, those two initiatives that we've just put out now. It's like you and both have said, enrollment is what it's about. It's our students, okay? And those have various drivers for the university and, frankly, for the city and the local areas, right? We are all in this boat together. Just on that note, the discussions, the various ones I've had with the various city representatives and county have been incredibly positive, and just thanks to all of them. That's work in progress, enrollment. The second initiative was the one behind, our infrastructure, our buildings, the assets on campus. We're probably no different. All the universities in the system are talking about a lot of their buildings being aging, okay, and deferred maintenance and not having the dollars to maintain those and for various reasons. And so those two points are pragmatic. You know, one has a very visible instant effect on how many students are walking around campus or the overall students we have, including our online. The other one is, hey, what cosmetically, to start with, does our university and local area look like? And then to lifting up that hood on the infrastructure and the buildings, what did it look like for each of them? And so we've aligned those. And by the way, the two people involved, Shelley from enrollment, and Bill McKernan and adding Corey from an analytical piece, we are going to elevate those two initiatives. And they are... they're important. They affect us in a lot of ways, us being university and the local area. And it's going to be data-driven. It's a lot of quantitative, and starting with numbers and data is a good way, in my opinion, because it's tough to argue with a number, whether it's right or not. Okay? And so hopefully that'll remove a lot of emotion out of the gate and through that process.
So as far as the infrastructure piece of this, Ken, space optimization, infrastructure, what exactly are you looking at making sure you're using what you're using, what you have to its fullest extent, what you don't need anymore? I mean, is everything on the table here?
Everything's on the table. That's the perfect way to put it. And, what we've tried to do, and you can see over the last 2 months, is – take a step back and, all the leadership team amongst campus, we need to open up those flows amongst the, all groups of it and really bring forward, the teams that know a lot, more. And frankly, those are the faculty deans. And they see a lot of activity in the various student behavior actions all the time, and so they're to the forefront. But it's exactly that. We're going to take a step back and just go through all the opportunities one by one and see what comes out.
So is this a process that's going to be in phases? When will you report initially then back to the Kansas Board of Regents? Is there a timeline you're looking at here, Ken?
Yes. You know, we spoke timelines with the Board of Regents last week. You know, this analysis on campus, probably the vast majority of it will be done from a first phase, first analysis, probably in April, May. Okay, it is. We're moving it to the forefront, which is why we have asked Corey and Bill to lead that for us. Obviously, they'll be working dotted lines with the various other groups needed throughout the campus, but they're going to be the leaders. We have, they're calling three-person committees. So three regents are meeting with us monthly on campus. In addition to the meetings in between that 2 weeks, KBOR meetings in Topeka.
Yes.
Okay, so you see this, you put it on your calendar. These things are for real. They want some answers and advice, and they're not dictating, but they're saying, hey, let's put all of our heads in the room, and what's best?
I was going to ask about that. Has the Board of Regents given you any structure or framework as to what they want to see with the report once that comes out to them in April or May, or is this one of those things where this is essentially all locally driven and then whatever you find is what you're going to compile and report here to the board?
It's probably the latter. Okay. And which is a nice approach. You know, every university and every local community is different. They can set the goals, and it's a one-page goal sheet, and it's posted with a couple of these major goals. And the neat thing is look, we've got some incredible talent on the university campus, and after all, it's the intelligence center for educating our younger people, and I'm just proud to be part of that group. But and then we've got phenomenal minds locally, and they're just saying, hey, come to us with ideas. And, you know, and there's a couple things that we have to keep in mind. We've got a potential nursing building thing that we've got to think about. So on down, there's a lot of things to consider. And, no, we'll be discussing and giving them updates monthly. You're talking about the time. Yep. Monthly. Okay. But
and then that first a tentative official report will be coming out April, May.
Probably so.
Okay.
In that area. So, yes.
You mentioned once Corey Faldeen and Bill McKernan will be taking care of the infrastructure portion of this ask from the Board of Regents. And we talk about the other part of this, and that is recruitment and retention, which always comes up when we talk to a college president because it's always there. It's the backbone of what you do. And I know that Emporia State has been busy and I think quite creative in coming up with some new ideas, including the new ask of the City Commission and County Commission of some funds to back, what I think is a very innovative program, in some scholarship activity that kind of sounds like really could be an enhancement for Emporia State.
Absolutely. You know that I know those ideas originated prior to me coming, and so thanks to everyone involved in that. It's progressed. It's progressed even. You're right. Creative is a great word. I have to give credit to the city and the local county people, Lyon County people, for coming forward and with a lot of those ideas, and then the ESU team for working with them. We don't know how that's going to end up. I know various parties are committed. All of them, in some form or another, we've had some discussions the last 2 days with them. So we'll get there, and hopefully we'll all come out with, hey, how can this look a little different? And maybe do a little bit of experimenting in a few ways. And so that's exciting, you know, because it is, you're absolutely right. It's the charge on you know, trying to grow student enrollment. And the second piece of that I think we talk about but maybe is just as important is at retaining them. Once we get them here, there's even and that's what Shelley and Jim and the team are going to look at, hey, how can we improve campus life for the students that are here and or through the online system.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that you mentioned at the Rotary Club meeting is, the trend towards more online, fewer on-campus enrollment, which we're now is pretty close to, it sounds like, an even split on and off campus. But also just how important that on-campus component is and just how vital it not only makes the numbers, but also it makes the community.
Absolutely right. The hard facts are with everyone, everyone meaning the university system in Kansas, probably across the nation, COVID affected everything, okay? And students are thinking differently. They're acting differently. They're wanting to be a student differently. What it has caused is more competition between the universities. And, you know, I think local community colleges have upped their, you know, game in pursuing more local for a couple years. And then, you know, that's taken a toll, excuse me, and or affected the four-year institution. So we're going to be more competitive. That's the reality. We have to. So.
Well, then you're kidding yourself if you don't think this isn't competitive.
Right.
Recruiting students, because it is.
Yep. The other thing, too, which brings up a potential partnership, as you mentioned here, with two-year institutions, specifically Flint Hills Technical College, does this maybe put a new emphasis on two-year partnerships that have already been in place, or is that more of a discussion point that's coming up a bit later on?
Yeah, that is a great question. And being that, yeah, the discussions are probably different now, okay, between the parties. And if, and by the way, discussions have always been there, and the relationships have been good. But, you know, I like listening to other people's ideas because, frankly, a lot of times they're much better than mine, okay? and which is why we've gone heavy team concept. I mean, we've got an example of Gwen right here who is phenomenal from a media relations who teams with us in various ways. And so, no, I think we've got to take a look at, and we're having some discussions next week with them. And I think anything's on the table, and we need to scratch our heads. So
Shelley Gerke is now the Vice President for Enrollment Management and Student Success. That's quite a title, Gwen, isn't it?
It is. But actually, Shelley has been doing a phenomenal job at this for a number of years. She was instrumental in building those student success pieces that you've heard us talk about, the Academic Center for Excellence and Success, which is peer tutoring over in the library in specific hours that students can be tutored. Also, changing how Student Advising Center works and how we do advising on campus, creating a first-generation group to support those students who are first-generation college students. So I think this promotion for Shelley just gives her new impetus to try even more new and innovative ideas for our campus.
So when do the students get back? When are we putting this thing back into high gear, Gwen?
Students can move into the residence halls on Sunday, although Monday is a holiday and we are closed, so they may wait till Monday. They will start classes on Wednesday of next week.
Hopefully refreshed, recharged, and excited, right, Ken?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Ken, one more question here, and it kind of loops back to our original point on the Board of Regents and the overall alignment process. I imagine that there's a lot of people who hear that term alignment, and they panic, thinking that things may be, you know, the visions may be different between the university and the board. But based off of our conversation today, it does not sound like that's the case. It sounds like this is more just a process situation as opposed to a goals and objectives situation.
Absolutely. And that's exactly how we're facing it right now. We look at it as a process, and it'll be tweaked as we go, depending on the change, the changes that we look forward to. And so, you know, just one of those changes, I mean, so the team alignment between the Board of Regents and at least Emporia State, I think is solid, and it's encouraging. They're asking, hey, how can we help you, Emporia State? And they're not – they've given some goals. They're going to leave it to us to how we analyze those, how we process, how we come back and answer those, whether we can do it at all. Okay? And so that's kind of a respectful, you know, nice relationship. The other thing, the thing is we have to keep in the back of mind, talk about changes is, you know, Gwen mentioned the difficulties with potential faculty and staff not being available for COVID and this type of thing.
Sure.
There's just an overall labor issue here in the whole local area. And it used to be that, hey, if we had someone out or something, maybe there was a local community person, an ex or retired alumnus or professor or faculty member. But there's practically few people available to do anything. And, boy, I don't remember ever, Chuck, from labor-sensitive type of availability of being such a potential bottleneck. But that's something new we've got to deal with, as an example.
Okay. Well, great stuff happening at Emporia State University. Major changes being announced with the promotions, but also the emphasis, again, on enrollment and infrastructure, likely to be highlighted not just short-term, but maybe midterm to long-term here for Emporia State University. So, Ken, really appreciate your time with us here today. And best of luck here as you continue.
Appreciate it. And thanks on behalf of the entire ESU teams. Thanks for allowing us to continue to speak with you.
Absolutely. And Gwen, thank you very much for your time here today, and best of luck as the semester looms here next week.
Thank you very much.
Outstanding. The ESU Buzz here today with Interim President Ken Hush and Director of Media Relations Gwen Larson. It's 8:50 on KVOE.
Thanks, Chuck, and our ESU Buzz brought to you this morning by Emporia State University. Discover ESU, where learning comes to life with more than 200 academic programs. Learn more at emporia.edu and by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, Lyon County's leading mortgage lender. ESFCU, the educated choice. Good morning, it's 8:50.
Promising new data from a study out of Southern California suggesting the risk of death from the Omicron